May I speak a word in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning again. We're all nice and warm today, aren't we? Well, I have more clothes on than anybody, so we're going to get through this. My name is Pierre Whalen. I'm the bishop in charge of the Episcopal churches in Europe, and St. James is one of the jewels of our crown. So always wonderful to be here, and to be here in particular to confirm Raoul and James, and to preach the Word of God, and to celebrate the Eucharist with you. And in particular today, I'd like to talk mostly about this letter to Philemon. Some people call it Philemon, but Philemon seems more modern. But first, this shocking gospel. Unless you hate father, mother, brother, sister, unless you hate, what does Jesus mean? Does he really mean that having commanded us to love one another as he loves us, and that we're to love God and to love neighbor, that now all of a sudden we're supposed to hate? It's a technique that Jesus often uses. For instance, he tells the Pharisees at one point, and while they're drinking a drink, they will strain off a little fly that's flown into their glass, a gnat, but they would swallow the whole camel. Is that literally true? Of course not. So when he says hate your father, your mother, etc., it's not literally despise. And the key to it is the last verse. You cannot become my follower if you do not give up all your possessions. Because most people have the habit of thinking their possessions, their relationships, their family they belong to, their house, their wives or husbands or children, all these things that determine who we are in the world are actually what makes us who we are. And so in order to follow Jesus, we need to give ourselves completely up to that new life that he's given us. And Philemon is the letter to Philemon, and what Paul asks Philemon is a perfect example of that. So if you'd like to open your bulletin and read along, I have to say, I just love this epistle, not only because of its content, but its style. Paul is an apostle. And when the apostles left this world to go be with the Lord, they had left behind successors that we call bishops. Bishops are the apostles of today. And there's a certain style of a bishop's letter, and this is it. Look at the beginning. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He's writing from prison. Timothy, our brother, the man he called elsewhere my son in the gospel. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, Apphia, our sister, probably his wife, Archippus, our fellow soldier, whoever he is, and to the church in your house. Because in those days, everybody's church was in a house. It didn't have a wonderful building like this. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's typical opening that he writes to all the churches. Grace to you and peace. And then he goes on, when I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith and toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. That's the nice part. Now he gets to the hard part. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, see the bishop part? You get it? Obey the bishop? All the clergy promise twice that they will obey the bishop? When I show up and tell the vestry, I want this, I speak as the bishop. Though I am bold enough to command you to do your duty, it's not smart to talk to people like that. Unless you really, really, really have to. You start by saying, for the love of Jesus, on the basis of love, I would rather appeal to you. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and a prisoner. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus. Onesimus is Philemon's possession. Onesimus is a runaway slave. By running away, he has injured his master because his master has lost some property. The Roman Empire had an economy based completely on slavery. In fact, scholars reckon that when Paul was writing this, around 60 AD, there were more slaves in the empire than there were citizens. And slaves were very, very tightly controlled because people still remembered the rebellion of Spartacus 100 years ago, before this, and all of the horror and terror that that entailed for the masters, well, as well as all those slaves they crucified on the Appian Way, but that's another story. Slavery meant you were not a human being. Americans have a terrible memory of this, the kind of slavery that existed in our country. And being French, also as an American, I can't say that the French didn't do it either, or the Spanish, or even today. It's estimated there are at least 20 million people living in slavery, forced laborers, forced sex workers, forced children required to slave away, as they say, in a factory here and there. Onesimus is a piece of property. So now read it again. I'm appealing to you for my child, Paul says. My child, Onesimus, whose father I've become during my imprisonment. So who is this Onesimus fellow? Scholars think that his name shows that he was born into slavery. His parents were slaves. Because his name is a slave marketer's dream. Onesimus means useful. And so you can imagine him at the slave market, naked, standing on a block with people walking around him, looking at him, pinching him, testing his muscles, looking at his teeth. And it says, this guy is really useful. And it's only 300 sesterces. Oh, but for you, 250, of course. You see what I'm saying? Useful. And so Paul says, before this he was useless to you, a rebellious slave. But now he's become useful, both to you and to me, because he's become a follower of Jesus. And this changes everything, not only for Onesimus, it changes it for Philemon. You have to give up all your possessions if you're going to follow me. You probably should start with your slaves. So, formerly he was useless to you, but he's become useful to both you, to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. What Paul is saying here is, yeah, he's a runaway slave, and frankly, he should go home to you, but you may not crucify him for running away. You may not amputate a foot of his because he ran away. You may not flog him. You may not brand a big F on his forehead as runaway slaves in Rome received, meaning fugitive, fugitarius. You may not do any of that to him because he's my own heart. He's become one of us. See, I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. It gets back to the power of the apostle to command. And perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you. In other words, perhaps this is why God intended that he should run away. And notice to whom he runs away. He runs away to Paul. Paul, whose preaching had planted this church. Paul, whose preaching had brought Philemon and his household to believe, to living faith, to becoming sisters and brothers in Christ. Onesimus must have heard this, and he couldn't bear to be a slave anymore, because now Philemon was his brother, so he had to run to Paul. I'm conjecturing, but why else would he go there? Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you, so you might have him back forever. You know we're going to be with each other forever? Oh dear. Yeah, the church is really, it's a preparation for heaven. So we might as well get used to each other now. Because we're going to have to deal with each other forever. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with me forever. Oh Lord, have mercy. So he's no longer a slave, but more than a slave, bring him back as a beloved brother. So if you consider me, I got to turn the page here, your partner in the gospel, welcome him as you would welcome me. And if he's wronged you in any way, he's not saying running away is harming Philemon. He's harmed you in any way. Broken a lock when he left or smashed some chains. Or if he owes you anything, any money, charge that to my account. Which is kind of funny. What account? Paul's in prison. How's he going to pay him back? Well, because Philemon owes him. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. Just so you know, it's me and not my scribe who's invented this, but it's me, see, P-A-U-L-U-S, Paul. I will repay it. And here's the bishop writing again. I say nothing about you owing me your very self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I'm writing to you knowing you will do even more than I say. I mean, you have to smile when you read this letter. The psychology of Paul with Philemon. Because he's sending this man back to him. And Roman law gave Philemon complete and total control over his, quote, property, unquote. And I imagine Onesimus is kind of standing around, hopping on one foot and another. What do you mean I have to go back? What's he going to do to me? Paul said, relax. Take it easy. I'm telling Philemon what to do. Now, Onesimus apparently went back to Philemon. And further tradition, not in the gospel, but further tradition says that among the names of the first bishops, the successors to the apostles, we have lists that go back way, way back. They're not completely back to Peter and Paul, but they're very close. There appears at least twice the name Onesimus as bishop. And further tradition said that he finally died as a martyr in Rome around 90 AD, so 30 years later. Who knows? But again, I think this underlines in a dramatic way, a way maybe most of us are not used to thinking, you have to give it all up to follow Christ. And if your traditions or your laws or your customs are unjust, you have to go against the tide and do the right thing. And if we let any other tie, any other relationship, any other possession keep us from Christ Jesus, we're not his follower anymore. So Jesus says in this passage, count the cost. Figure out what it's really worth to you. That's what Paul is saying to Philemon. Eternal life is worth much, much, much more than your rights over another man. Because this man has always been your brother. You just didn't know it until Jesus opened your eyes to see that we are all sisters and brothers of the same family. And Jesus, our elder brother, who has already welcomed us into heaven and who is training us up now for eternal life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.